Hi, this is Russ. We're in the internet course, The Black Awakening. We are now in session 8, Intelligent Design or / Elite Brotherhood. And as we begin to gear ourselves for this discussion and this session, we just again need to surrender to the Lord Jesus and just seek the wisdom of God and to know the Word of God, to know the Spirit of the Lord in our lives. And to be able to see the season that we're living in. Father, I pray for us to receive insight and instruction from you and for you to guide us and show us again in the Scriptures and reveal to us and cause us to see the times that we're living in and cause us also to know the kingdom of God is unshakable and your agenda, your work is sovereign. And we just pray, God, that you will educate us and teach us that we might be your servants. I pray for all of those who are in military, in law enforcement, in the government, pastors, leaders, and counselors, all of those who are taking this course, those who are researching and just connecting dots and seeing the picture and adding more and more to the picture. Father, we pray that you would bless that exposure in the sense that your word tells us to expose the evil deeds of darkness in Ephesians chapter 5. So I pray that we would take up that prophetic calling, that watchman's calling that you've given to the body of Christ to expose those evil deeds, to have verification, to know, to point out to others of the impending dangers, but also to the power of God and to the incredible work that is still at hand in reaching the entire world for Christ. So I pray right now for your blessing on all those who hear, those taking notes. Minister to them according to the needs they have, Lord Jesus. Take a look, if you would, at page 8. And we have a number of things that we want to go over here, because in this session we're talking about an elite brotherhood and the idea of intelligent design. And when I say intelligent design, I don't mean that it's a smart or a good design. Obviously, Hitler was intelligent, obviously, but in a satanic sense, in a wrong sense, in a bad sense. And so when you take a look at the concept of the Black Awakening or the Great Revolt, and even the rise of the Antichrist himself, when you take a look at all of this, you know that there is a massive, massive, massive plan and plot and all of the work that goes in behind it. This is global. This will touch billions of lives. If you think in terms of 9/11 and what occurred there, you know that there was planning and plotting and work that it went on for a number of years prior to the actual action that occurred. And that's what's going on right now. That's part of what we can realize. We don't have to wait till the Black Awakening occurs or the Antichrist arrives. We know right now that as the Scripture gives us clear insight into the satanic agenda and the actual events that will occur around us, we know that if we back that up, we know that there's going to be years of planning. So I've mentioned concerning the satanic super soldiers or the chosen ones, the master race of soldiers that will serve the Antichrist. Initiated in Nazi Germany, no doubt. But beyond that, we've seen that the many hundreds of thousands of victims of satanic ritual abuse and multiple personality disorder, those who have been to the psych wards and been to the counselors. They're telling their stories all across Canada, the United States, and England, and in Europe. They're telling about some of the plots and plans. But see, they've been given the information that they need. They have a compartment level of information because of what they're going to be doing, they're going to be accomplishing when the orders or the activation is given to them. So they won't know the major elite issues. though some of you have maybe ministered to or have helped or listened to or read the materials or books of some of them, or you've looked online and seen where a number of them are writing materials and sharing things and pointing fingers and naming places and naming people, and that's all well and good. The issue that we've always had was verification of actual names and peoples and so forth. But we need to also look at the issue of there is an elite brotherhood. There is an elite brotherhood in the sense of Satan has been creating tares. The parable, clearly the parable of the sower, as Jesus goes out to sow the word of God to the world, individuals receive Christ, his word, and the wheat begins to grow. But then, during the night, the evil one comes along, and he does the same thing, and he's creating tares. So as Jesus is building a church, building a people, so also is Satan building a people and a counterfeit church, a counterfeit kingdom. And that kingdom's been going and being built since the very initiation of the church. And I'll mention one of those episodes. It was found in the book of Acts, chapter 5. When Satan himself sought to infiltrate the early church, he's always wanting to infiltrate. Ananias and Sapphira, the scriptures tell us that they conspired together, or they got together and discussed about the money issue, and they were going to lie to the church. Their hearts were wide open. Now we know what happened. The Spirit of God gave discernment and a word of knowledge, Holy Spirit perception, to Peter, and he acknowledged that Satan had filled their hearts, and both Ananias and Sapphira dropped dead. And there's a reason. It wasn't just mere human activity. They dropped dead in an exercise of the judgment of God as Satan entered their hearts. Actually, the writer of the book of Acts uses the Greek word pleru, referring to, it's the word used for us, being filled with the Spirit of God. When Peter said, "How have you let Satan so fill your hearts?" They were completely filled and saturated, literally, with Satan as he entered their lives and filled their hearts with his agenda. And he was literally there seeking to enter into, infiltrate, and then bring corruption. That's what he's all about. And obviously he was stopped at the door. But there's a unique word used there concerning that they came to test the church. That they came to... the Greek word literally means to test and approve the durability. They wanted to be able to pull the wool over the eyes of the church, but they were also under the satanic empowerment and presence. They were literally seeing and testing the power of the church. And I can't tell you how many cult multiples or chosen ones in our power encounters and in the activity we've done where they've had to confess that they've either tried to set our staff up or set me up, or they've done powers or done rituals. They gave me gifts with demon presence on it in the past, and many things we've learned in the hard ways along the way. And there's a design for infiltration and things like that, but it goes beyond that, because if there are over 4 million diagnosed cases, if there's, in my estimation, 10 to 12, 13 million chosen ones here in the United States, some of them have broken down and ended up in psych wards. Many, if not most of them, are intact as sleepers whose handlers are overseeing them until the day of activation. And they're in their places, as we've already mentioned. Please understand how immense the planning and the plotting and the secrecy. This is not just human design. This is not just human intelligence. This has been forged in hell. This has been forged in hell. You and I need to understand that literally the demonic realm in their rankings meet. Satan calls the meetings. Satan, sends out his plot and plan and gives assignments. We need to understand how that side works. And I believe, as I said in the notes here, the biblical revelation of Satan's being, nature, and his tactics are made clear. So let me just mention quickly concerning, it looks like chaos. Yes, 9/11 looked like it was chaos. It was maddening chaos. But behind that chaos was years of planning and plotting and design and secrecy and so forth in order to accomplish it. When you come to the Black Awakening and the rest of the seven-year tribulation and all that Antichrist is going to do, you've got to understand, it doesn't happen out of the blue. We're talking about years and years and years and years of preparation. As a matter of fact, here's a concept I want you to think about and pray about and see what you think. There's times, especially when I read Bob Rozio's book, Hitler and the New Age, or when I take a look at the entire way that nation's government and power people and economic people and all of it was seduced spiritually from a demonic ideology that came to them, that they could literally believe that the Jews were a pig race and needed to be annihilated, that they could literally be a part, that the elite... See, remember Himmler creating an elite, the SS was to be an elite group. It trickles down. There's those who literally, maybe even in Wurzburg Castle at the Hall of the Dead, there was literal meetings to receive the instruction from the... Maybe they believed ancestral spirits, but they were definitely demonic. And to receive guidance in that way. And we see that there's a tremendous elite there. There's a tremendous plotting and planning there. Hitler would go to this nation, or to the Poles, to the Czechs, to others, and sign treaties. And immediately, as he's signing the treaties, he already's plotting and planning to attack those nations. So in the whole realm of politics and economic and the place of power and in all those places we're going to take a look at in a few moments, we're going to see that the satanic devices of deception that flows from Satan himself energizes the minds and hearts of this brotherhood, this elite brotherhood that serves him. That serves his agenda, that gives the orders to the people under them, and then they give the orders and the direction to the people under them. Now, if you just think in terms of 9/11, you know that there were orders given, there was plotting and planning, and all that occurred, there were men willing to die. I kind of think there might have been programming involved in that too. I see aspects of that. But there was also this enormous dark spiritual plot. There's no question in my mind about that. Also, it released a sense of evil. You can feel it in the air. You knew that it was a major release of the presence of evil at that time. Well, it's going to get worse than that the closer we get to the Black Awakening, and then at the Black Awakening that will be unparalleled. Until the middle of the tribulation time. On point B in your notes, I mentioned this from the insurrection in the heavenlies. If we go all the way back in the biblical revelation and we take a look at the anointed cherub and all of his perfection and all of his abilities and so forth, obviously an extremely powerful being. A powerful being who walked among the fiery stones of God. But something inside of him, he chose. The bottom line, the biblical revelation stops there. It just tells us that on the inside of his heart, inside he chose. And the Hebrew word for wickedness there, the wickedness was found in him, means that there was a violent twisting. Inside of him, he completely twisted and turned completely inside out. And when he did that, he was no longer the anointed cherub. He became something totally different to the DNA, to the genetics, to every single capillary. Whatever he is made of completely, his total being was spiritually blackened. And a brand new nature was spawned by his choices. He was transmuted. And every single being that he causes to come his way, they become transmuted in the same way. And obviously he has an extension of his work that is literally in the genetics of the fallen nature. And that's Ephesians chapter 2 verses 1 and 2. The ruler of the power of the air is now at work. Remember the Greek word work? A supernatural operative power. He is now at work in those who are disobedient, those who are outside of Christ. So the sin nature itself is a presence. It's literally a presence within humanity. But it originates in the fallen cherub. And each, even in the heavenlies, there was insurrection that he wanted to be, you know, the five I wills in Isaiah, that he wanted to become and take God's place. Now, obviously, I always say when I teach on the subject, the insanity of that. The finite can never become the infinite. The definition of infinity or the infinite is no beginning. Part of the definition anyway. No beginning. We can't even clearly define infinite or infinity because it's beyond our ability to calculate. And so a created being, no matter how powerful, still being finite, cannot and will never become infinite. But the attempt is there, and the evil is there, and the insurrection occurred. And obviously we read there in Ezekiel 28, and we can also study this and read this in Revelation chapter 12. We read it in the rest of the book of Revelation that he trafficked, he took a third of the angels. A third of the angels went with him. There's no question of his ability to persuade and use his deception. So don't think that the events of the Black Awakening is too massive, too big of an undertaking. This is something beyond human intelligence. The earth has been grid mapped. Demonic presence and power is everywhere on the earth. They have been in every nation since the fall of the human race. They were there in Sumer. They were there in the Chaldees. They were there before Moses. They were there as watchers that came down, as Enoch in the book of Enoch prophesies and shows and reveals that they were the ones that came down and created the Nephilim, the B'nai Elohim. The goal to corrupt the bloodline and bring out a transmuted army again, not only to rule, to come into the rule of the earth, and again to take the earth. Satan needs that extension. He couldn't do it by himself, so he gets a third of the angels. Massive insurrection in the heavenlies. Obviously, he's cast out, and he brings it here to the earth. And from here, he seeks the loyalty. See, it wasn't just a matter of temptation in Genesis 3. It wasn't just a matter of putting your hand in the cookie jar. It was insurrection on the earth. The issue of the fall of the human race, God set the tree there to save us and to keep us eternal and in the innocence to walk with God and bear the image of God as the apex of God's creation. So what God did was to protect us. He set the perimeters. Satan was coming, but God set the perimeters. All we had to do is say no and believe the word of God. That's how it is to this very day, to believe the word of God. And there is a insurrection that challenges that. Because the brotherhood of darkness begins in the heavenlies when the fallen cherub, in his insurrection, in this violent, widespread trade, this trafficking, this persuasion, he sweeps, the ancient dragon sweeps one third of the stars, the angels of God, and brings them into his kingdom, into his domain. And obviously he's ruling over them ever since that point in time. And they serve him, and they're also blackened in their character, and there is no redemption because they made a final, fatal, fixed choice while they are in the heavenlies. And there's been a casting down. Now, when it comes to humans as the apex of God's creation in the sense of bearing his image and being like him, listen, we were created with that capacity. We were created with as eternal beings. But obviously, the war was coming here, and God set in place a way in which we could shut the door. But we didn't. And we made the fatal choice. And this insurrection on the earth opened the doors to allow Satan to become the god of this age, this time period. 1 John 5, the ruler, he's the evil one who's in control of the world. And you read about it, and we'll talk about it later. But again, it has always involved Satan needing a team, a group, a people, an elite brotherhood. And we can see in the Old Testament this constant thing. Every time you see the people worshiping Moloch or any of the Canaanite gods and goddesses and so forth, all along those ancient days, leading them to, like Manasseh, to sacrifice his own son at the altar of Tobiath and to Moloch. Major demonic and territorial beings, the prince of Persia, who is most likely Allah, over all of that Persian area, that land, that territory. And they're here and they're doing what they do, but they need to operate in the hearts of men and women. And through the laws of engagement, getting men and women to believe, getting men and women to open up their hearts to the spiritual presence, to give them promises and so forth, obviously that takes a lot of, quote, satanic intelligence, satanic design, satanic manipulation. He has never stopped working at his plan of taking the seed of God. And this has gone on for thousands of years. As a matter of fact, let me say, I'll tell you the end of this session right now, so because it's so important, we'll go over it again. But when you read in Revelation chapter 12, you're going to read about, in verse 9, the great dragon was hurled down, that ancient serpent called the devil or Satan, who leads the whole world astray. He was hurled to the earth. Now, again, it's telling us there, he leads the whole world astray. How do you lead? How do you, do not presidents and kings and congress people and governor, don't they lead? People that have billions of dollars, they lead. Military men, and as the Bible quote calls it, the kings of the earth, which we're going to talk about in a moment too. The design is all out of the insurrection, and the insurrection's agenda was to take the seed of God, and that has never changed. So when you read in Revelation 12 that he leads the whole world, again, leading humans, and he speaks through some to others, and so on and so on. When we read Revelation 20, you see the same thing occurred, in this sense. In verse 3, Satan now, he's thrown into the abyss, and locked and sealed it over him to keep him from deceiving the nations anymore. At the end of the 1,000 years, verse 7, chapter 20, when the 1,000 years are over, Satan will be released from his prison, and he will go out to deceive the nations in the four corners of the earth. And that, if you look at that biblical revelation, you're going to see again that the insatiable lust, the insatiable insurrection, even in prison, in the abyss, 1,000 years, nothing changes. I'm telling you, according to biblical revelation, the anointed cherub twisted, turned, and his nature's never been the same, and his desire and his agenda has never changed, and never will, and never will. So when you look at point C on your notes, when I mentioned the mind of Satan, and I've asked in classes where we've done a deep study, biblical study on the nature and being and names and so forth of Satan, I've asked, if you were able to sit across the table and speak to Satan himself and talk to him, would you do it? If I was to say, listen, think of 10 questions you would ask Satan, what would those 10 questions be? If you were to sit there and look right into the face of Satan, what would you see? Please understand, he's still massively, incredibly powerful. And all of that power now is under the control of his nature and of flowing from the source. Jesus said that he is a liar, and he's the source of the lie. And when he lies, he speaks his native language. In other words, that's the core being. God speaks only truth. God cannot lie. Satan cannot really tell the truth. He will use truth, but he can only use biblical truth in a twisted way. The end goal, the end run of that would be that it's all about a lie. He cannot tell the truth. God cannot tell a lie. The issue with the lie and people lying, even in the Ten Commandments, I mentioned, I think, this before, this is a major issue, as God even gives the Ten Commandments, bearing no false witness, because it completely collapses the culture. Look what's going on right now in politics. We're listening to all the Democrats and all the Republicans here in the United States. You in the UK and other parts of the European Union, you're looking at leaders, and there's a distrust. People don't trust the media, and they definitely don't trust politicians because they've been lied to. They know they've been lied to. You know, when we hear presidents just right on television saying, "I have not done this certain thing," and they're caught in a lie. And so the people see this. It's not that people expect the lie, but the lie goes on. And the lie creates distrust. The lie brings down a brokenness in the social order. The lie forces humanity to create laws. If everybody just lied and lied and lied, again, chaos, anarchy, distrust, we would have no ability to even communicate. Whenever I've done deliverances and listened to demons speak, they always lie. They do what their nature is all their nature is to lie. You know, in the name, you know, we command, how many others are there? And the Lord might already give me an insight that there's 13 other demons, and I'll command them to say, and I'll already write it down in my notes as I'm dealing with this issue, and the demon will say, seven. And I've had to respond and been led to respond that if you're lying, I'm going to ask the Lord to bring judgment on you right now. Then they'll scream out, okay, there's 13. They lie. And you can expect them to lie. And that's how they get into people's lives. And it's all about deception. I did a deliverance years ago on someone who was a remote viewer. And they brought in all their literature and materials and talked about where they were trained and what base and who was behind it and who they were connected to and who they knew in the remote viewing community and so forth. And they told me how there was an energy and a curiosity, and then when they finally was able to do it and this presence or whatever else was taking them out, well, we engaged in a deliverance session, a freedom encounter. And I called in the name of Jesus for whatever that energy was to make itself known. And all of a sudden, a demon spoke up to say his name was Argon. And we contained Argon and commanded Argon. And the person who had Argon in them, was attached to them, was astounded. And eventually, I commanded that Argon would show himself how he really looks to the person. Because inwardly, they could see what this being. They thought it was a translucent, New Age, beautiful spirit. And when we commanded for the mask to be taken off, they were horrified at the look of this demon. And Argon would continue to lie. And I commanded Argon, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command you now to tell this person the truth. What is the end goal? Because the person didn't want to give him up. Because that's the presence behind the ability of their spirit to leave their body. And they discussed psychic assassination, triangulation, all these stories they gave me concerning and literature to read on the subject back in the early 90s. And finally, Argon yelled out to take them to blankety blank hell. And then the person said, get it out. And of course, we commanded in the name of Jesus, and the authority of Christ struck the demon, and the demon left. Screaming, you know, and got out. And the person wasn't able to, you know, leave their body like that any longer. That presence behind that ability was gone. But they learned that also in this whole issue of the elite brotherhood. They came from what is called the ancient brotherhood, or the brotherhood, which is like the umbrella organization in the United States that's behind the creation of the chosen ones. If you think in terms of 4 million, 5 million, or even 10 million, let's just think of, you know, 100,000 individuals that have all had satanic ritual abuse. Purposely, there was a division of their soulical side into numerous sub-personalities. And all this was done to them. The question that I keep trying to get everybody to answer, or at least to look at, I mean, I look at it and we've tried to track and so forth, and I already understand the answer in my terms. But I want psychologists and psychiatrists and pastors and leaders and even those in the military, the rogue military side who are the programmers and splitters and handlers. We need to ask, you know, who's behind all of it? Who created all of these chosen ones? Who created 10 million chosen ones that are to be satanic super soldiers in the Black Awakening and in the reign of the coming Antichrist. Who made them? Think in terms of that. Now we're getting to the issues of handlers and then going up of the tier, the pyramidic tier of leadership till we get to the top, this brotherhood of, well, as Stan Monteith calls it, the Brotherhood of Darkness. And yes, it is a Brotherhood of Darkness. And that takes us to the, well, still on C. Let me stop here. I don't want to go any further yet. Let me touch on C. The mind of Satan himself, plotting, planning, the tactics. We're told in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 that we're not to be unaware of his schemes, that we're not to be outwitted. He's outwitting the world because he's able to lead the whole world astray. But his target ultimately, in order to do that, are the power brokers. We're going to come to that in a few moments, and I'll talk about that. But in Genesis C, chapter 3, we see revealed his tactics of creating doubt, causing lies, smearing God, and getting people to break ranks with God and come over to his side by accepting his words. And you can't do it otherwise. Even in traditional Satanism, when you go through rituals, there's a matter of rejecting the word of God, the church of Christ, Christ, the blood of Christ, everything, and accepting the word of Satan and the, you know, the agenda of Satan and Satan himself and so forth. You must reject the living God, the living Christ, in order to receive and take on doctrines of demons. That's true in the Jehovah's Witnesses and the Mormons and the Masons, and that's true in satanic circles, that's true in the New Age movement, that's true in the Theosophical Society, in the OTO, in all of the secret societies, the Rosicrucians, all of them, the Gnostics of the early church. That's true. You must you must renounce or turn away from the real Christ. That's true of the Quran. The same spiritual thread used in development of the secret doctrine through Helena is also used in the development of the Quran, in once again taking the deity of Christ away, taking everything away from him and turning him into a little pocket-sized, just rabbit's foot. That's all the New Age has, is a little pocket-sized Jesus that they don't even know him. They don't have a relationship with him. They don't talk about, they have no testimony. That's how you really tell the difference. They only have a little Jesus that can't meet with them, can't help them, can't do anything. A little Jesus they can just put in their pocket and think in terms of, we want to be like him, but we don't even know him. No, the real Christ is the Christ of Isaiah, is the Christ of Samuel and Moses and Ezekiel and the prophecies of the prophets and the angels of God, the elect angels of God and the apostles and the Word of God, old and new. And he's the Christ of every single believer that will confess the same thing, the living Christ. You read in 1 John that a true believer is going to confess that Jesus Christ is truly come in the flesh. This is God in human flesh. And not a ghost, not just a spiritual entity like the early Gnostics, the Docetics and the Cerinthian Gnostics taught. The real Christ. Well, the Brotherhood of Darkness, the elite brotherhood, and all of what they're panning out and giving out to the rest of the world around us, they have no problem you accepting a little fake Jesus, because he's nothing. Even the demons know that. The demons, in every single case that we've ever dealt with, I don't know how many times now, hundreds of times, none of them fear Muhammad, none of them fear Buddha, none of them mention those, none of them have any other concerns about Quetzalcoatl or other, so-called Jesuses and Madonnas and babies and all. None of them are concerned about that. They are concerned, however, concerning the living Christ of Scripture. They fear him. They know him. They know the judgment. They know the Word of God. They know what's coming down the pike. They know that. Even the demons know that, and they shudder. They believe. They know who he is in their heads. And the book of James tells us they shudder. They literally tremble. These powerful beings tremble in the presence of the living Christ. As a matter of fact, I had somebody just write me that's an inside sub-personality. They're very deep in the dark side, and I've been sharing and witnessing and going on, and outside of them, they have handlers and those who created them and so forth. There's a connection all the way back with the Nazis and all of that. And they listened to one of the rants to the Luciferians I did as I cried out, Jesu Christu, Jesu Christu, Jesu Christu, the Greek for Jesus Christ, because in His name is power. He's been given a name above every name. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. Whosoever calls on the name of Jesus can be saved. And so in that name of the real Christ is the source of infinite power, grace, mercy, the redemption that was purchased by Him on the cross in His blood. And they wrote to me about how they felt I've infected them. That they've known powers and they've conjured powers and they've been very, very known with their own powers. But the name Jesu Christi repeated that way, they can't get it out of their head. They're stricken. They're stricken and literally made them was making them sick, as many demonized people get physically sick because of the demonic revulsion. In their fear, they shrink back, they screech and cry, and they want out of there. These powerful beings want out of there. Even Michael, when he said, "The Lord rebuke you," to Satan in the book of Jude, "The Lord rebuke you." Even the authority of the Lord, the same Lord. Michael was naming the same Lord Jesus that you, Christian, are naming also. Michael knows Christ. He knows Jesu Christu. And what a powerful being, and someday you'll get to meet Michael. Michael fights on behalf of the kingdom of God and on behalf of Israel. Well, that's another story, but going back to point C is the Old Testament and David. We read the story of how Satan rose up against Israel and enticed David. Now listen, he enticed the king of, you know, here's God's anointed man. And this is very important for us to understand that Christians can stumble. Just listen, position doesn't give you greater power and greater protection. You know, if you think, well, I'm not going to, doesn't make it, you listen, every Christian gets the same empowerment and blessing and authority and protection and so forth. It's whether or not you open doors, you know, to the enemy. And God specifically told David not to number, not to do. You know, there's certain things God said not to do. And Satan enticed him. He rose up against the nation of Israel, who was the divinely created, beginning with Abraham, divinely created to be the people of God, not only to represent God in the Old Testament, and to let be the vehicle through the laws of engagement that God would demonstrate Himself and His kingdom and His name to the world, the fallen world. But there would be a progressive revelation in which prophets and others and through the Old Testament sacrifices and Old Testament temples and so forth, there would be shadows and types all pointing. Even the book of Hebrews says it was the shadows pointing to what's to come. To what's to come. The living Christ. The reality. In that day, Satan knew what to do to bring tremendous the judgment of God on Israel, to get a leader. And that's why it's so difficult when we see Christian leaders truly stumble and fall. Yes, they can be forgiven. And it's difficult in our own lives when Satan tries to tempt us. He's still called the tempter in 2 Corinthians 11, chapter 11, verses 2 and 3, trying to lead astray Christians from their sincere and pure devotion to Christ. The good news is Jesus talks about how the prince who now stands judge, remember in the Gospel of John? He says, "He has nothing in me." There is no legality, no ability for him to enter in. Jesus, as God in human flesh, but also as completely man, stayed completely obedient and never sinned. Satan had no rights, no rights to his death, no rights to the cross. The pure righteous Christ was able to destroy the power of sin, the power of Satan, death, destroy it all at the cross because of who he is, who he was. And in the resurrection, to be able to offer life eternal to all those who would come. And that's the enormous picture. But don't forget again the audacity of Satan. Matthew chapter 4, when Satan comes to Jesus. We read this story and we see, you know, that Satan comes using Scripture even, doing supernatural things. And he has the audacity to try to get the Son of God to bow down and worship him. Hey, by the way, do a study. Do a study in Revelation chapter 12. And when you do a study in Revelation chapter 12, you're going to see that the dragon, Satan, whenever mentions the dragon primarily in Revelation, it's like the full force, the full frontal force of who Satan is. the ancient dragon. He's there. He knows all biblical prophecy, as I've said before. He knew that Messiah would be born. He knew about it concerning. He was there in Israel waiting. He can't be in China and Russia. He's not omnipresent. But he was there in Israel waiting. He was ready to pounce and devour and destroy. And in actual history, through the edict to kill all the children, that was part of Satan's doing, to get Jesus to bow down and worship him, was the way of destruction and destroying the Messiah. And Jesus demonstrated again his indestructible nature, his indefeatable nature, and his sovereign power and grace. But he's truly also, because being fully man, clearly representing us on our side, the second Adam, demonstrated obedience. So my friend, I want to tell you this, that when you think in terms of the satanic design behind all of what we're talking about, it always means that he has to engage individuals, whether the angels in heaven, to get them to go along with him. They serve him all these thousands of years. Talk about an elite brotherhood. Talk about an elite brotherhood. He knows them by name. He commands them and meets with them. And they have their meetings, and they're broken down again globally in the agenda. They follow ultimately the agenda that Satan has. But even they are being used. And then God, and then Satan rather, comes to humanity in the same thing, using individuals in order for Moloch to have his manifestation there, and for people to be convinced to bring their children and sacrifice their children. Or among the Aztecs or the Mayans, to do all the blood sacrifices on the ziggurats and all the other places, to open bigger doors and bring demonic powers and to saturate the land with demonic presence and the tribes or peoples with demonic presence. They knew what they were doing in the transmutation of humanity, but also the use of humanity. But see, Satan knows the far-off prophecy not only of the first coming of Messiah in human flesh, but also of the visible return. I mean, Satan knows the creation of the church. That's why he's right there to battle the church in Acts chapter 5. That's why he's out as like a roaring lion seeking whom, what Christian he can devour. And that's why sometimes you and I feel that devouring. But the other side of all this story is in the activities of Satan. And that's where we come now to point D on your page. He needs the kings of the earth. Now that phrase is used a number of times in the book of Revelation. The kings of the earth. And who are the kings of the earth? That would include the premiers and the kings and so forth, like in Saudi Arabia. That would include leaders of France and Germany and Italy and England and the United States. In the context of Revelation, it would include primarily four areas: the political, the economic, the military, and the powerful. That's who Satan wants more than anybody else. And maybe this MP3 has gotten itself to some of you. Maybe this has been turned into a CD, and somehow through reconnaissance in your system, you've gotten this information, wanting to know how far we are getting concerning our information. Either way, for the believers to understand in Christ, to understand that when it refers to the kings of the earth, Satan's targeting them. He targets presidents, congresspeople, governors. He targets the extreme wealthy. I mean, think in terms of the Masons themselves. You know, you can only become a Mason by invitation. You know that they do kind of a file on people before they even invite them to come to the first meeting. You know that they sit back and observe and watch. This is true in the OTO, the Ordo Templi Orientis. This is true in a lot of the secret societies, Skull and Bones, or any of the others. That the behind the scene, already committed to lead, are looking for more to bring them into the system under the secret power of lawlessness. And all of the secret societies, and you can name many of them, and throughout Europe, the Black Nobility, and you can the Knights of Malta, and you can begin to go through all the listings of names of secret societies and groups that may be broken down into different divisions. So what we're seeing is only the tip of the iceberg. God gives us a picture of the tip of the iceberg and maybe a little bit of a biblical picture of underneath the water to see a little bit larger. But it goes deeper than that. It goes deeper than that. You've got to know that today, this very day that we're living, that there are political leaders, economic leaders, military leaders, and people who have powerful influence in the world, media moguls. All of them, among them, are a powerful, as Stan Monteith in his book calls it, a powerful brotherhood of darkness. Brotherhood of darkness. If you go back to Revelation 16 and you see this incredible satanic ritual, the dragon, the beast, and the false prophet, the demons that flow from within them out, they notice who they're sent to. They're sent to the kings of the earth. They are sent to the political, the economic, the military, and the powerful. Now, one of the examples, now listen, what we can do is we can sit back and begin to name names. We can go back to the Merovingian bloodlines, and you can study that online in books and materials, and, you know, going through thousands and thousands of pages of all that material, we see a lot of things. And the issue is, in connecting all those dots, and say we've named some actual names, what can we do about it? When you think of Benjamin Krim, when you think of people that in the past, like Alice Bailey and Helene and others, or the current people like David Spangler of the New Age and others, they're out there for us to see. But let me tell you this: the real elite, they are not to be known by the public. They are not to be known. The filthy rich in the economic realm, the political leaders that really do when they take off and go. And meet with and are part of the plot for globalization. They're part of the plot of designing that in the UN, designing it in convincing their own parliaments and congresses and their own governing powers to be a part of moving the world to a global elite, to bring a concentration of power, a centralization of power, because ultimately Satan needs to rule. Through a political system, he has to have the economic base, obviously, into the trillions of dollars. He's going to have to be able to acquire the most powerful military in all of human history, way beyond the United States, way larger than the United States, when all those nations, and maybe part of the United States, when it comes down to it. And the powerful individuals, especially in the fields of communication and science, just like in Nazi Germany. See how those dots are connected? In a miniature way, the elite, the Brotherhood of Darkness in Nazi Germany, were the political. They were the economic. They were the military. And they were the power brokers in the areas of communication, transportation, media, and that's what we're seeing in the days that we're living. Now, if you've ever gotten a chance to go on the web and maybe go to YouTube or wherever else, Alex Jones is, somebody brought me the video sometime back, and I watched the video, and I've seen other clips and pictures, and back in the early 90s, a chosen one that came out of Fort Bragg and was in CIDA, all this other kind of stuff, they came from Bohemian Grove. They sat right in my presence, and on a large sheet I gave them, they drew out the picture of the place and where the owl was and the lake and where the people sat, and told me story after story after story. Even handed me her necklace with a little owl that she used to wear. And part of her earlier days, she was a sex slave there, like a lot of monarchs. A lot of you counselors out there are going to meet individuals that will have personalities inside. They might be in their 40s now, but in their 20s or in their very late teens, they may have been, and you may want to ask them, has anybody on the inside ever been to the Bohemian Grove or other secret places like that? I mean, to even study that one area, I mean, just do a massive study on Bohemian Grove, and it wouldn't be the only place they meet, but it is a central place of what we see Revelation 16 all about. I cannot emphasize enough that it's not about conspiracy. It's not just a relaxation. It's not just a ritual of the cremation of care for all the cares to be released. This is an actual, according to the chosen ones, those who have been there. They tell me very clearly, and they'll tell people across the nation, counselors and others, they will tell the story that real rituals go on underground and in certain places. I mean, it is a place of massive super secrecy. And it's only begun to have. This is like the colony of Dignidad down in South America. When you read Unholy Alliance by Peter Lavinda, and you can read Sinister Forces and Materials, or go online and, again, do a search on the colony of Dignidad and a Nazi Aryan outpost where other, again, chosen ones have been down there, and the creation of chosen one, and little children from around the world have been sent there, and they've continued to create this master race. They've got locations they've been doing this from. Pennsylvania is a major place. California is a major place. Ravenstower, Ravenswood, so many places that we can name. So many names we can name. But the main principle that I want you to see here is political, economic, military, and the powerful elite that are in the media and communications and things like that. Guess who's invited? Look again for 200 years or more, a Bohemian Grove. And here in the United States, in all our almost our whole history, they've been having the elitists, the Illuminati, whatever you want to call them, have been meeting there doing these rituals. And here's what the ritual's all about. They draw all those people there. The land is already ritually prayed over. The preparations are already there. Monarch sex slaves and others are already there to bring corruption, to take videos, to entrap the powerful and the military and the leaders, to use it in their blackmail and to use it in drawing them into the agenda, the Illuminati agenda. But the biggest issue is the cremation, that ritual done with what they think is an effigy of a human being. I mean, think about, again, presidents, senators, wealthy people of multi-billion dollar multinational companies from the United States. They're there. Arnold's there, and the Bushes are there. And look at, and not just them. I'm just talking about many. Many of them are on weddings. That's what the Chosen Ones told me. Many of them are on weddings. And they go there, and they're sitting across, and they have no clue to the fact that the ritual's being done. Now, those rituals being done there are powerful, but they're not as powerful as we see in Revelation 16, when the dragon, the beast, and the false prophet triangulate in their ritual, kind of a power cone, and together release the powers. Demons go out of them that are going to perform miraculous, supernatural. Can I tell you again that, as in Germany, the new world order will be shaped by demonic ideology, by demonic empowerment, by demonic guidance, whose source is in and from the dragon, the beast, and the false prophet. And so when you see in our own country for over 200 years, the elite of the world, the elite of the United States have been drawn there, and I can't tell you the level of effect. But obviously the waves and waves and waves of satanic presence on them, to influence them, to draw them in, make files on them, to prepare them, to initiate them. That's an initiation ritual. That's an initiation ritual. And no believer, if there's a believer that's in politics or military and so forth, no real believer in Jesus Christ can sit through that. But again, realize that right now, where the great satanic powers are in hidden, secretive places. They're being done all over Europe. Even Father Malachi Martin, kind of in coded language, in the book's Windswept House, talking about the ritual of the invocation, that and it looks like he's talking about a cult multiple that's going to be used in the invocation of the Antichrist. There is no question no question that when Luciferian Nazis, SS troops were leaving and the scientists and leaders were flooding out of Nazi Germany at the end of the war, the rat lines, many, many thousands of them filtered into the Catholic Church. Some of them became priests as a cover, as a cover. They have deeply infiltrated. You can read numerous Catholic individuals, not just me, numerous Catholic individuals that are exposing this issue. They know there's infiltration. They know there's a secret brotherhood, a black nobility, a satanic underpinning in the Vatican and throughout Rome and Italy and France. They know that. And it's without question that when the Black Awakening occurs, there's going to be a whole flipping over of the Catholic Church in that region. The false prophet himself may come out of that, not being a real believer in Christ, but again, being a hidden infiltrator. If you read, if you go back to the page that's on your link page for all these sessions, you're going to see the book listed, Lucifer's Lodge. And I would encourage you to go to William Kennedy's website, to listen to a number of his MP3s, to read his book concerning the Black Rooms. We have tracked from the victims we've dealt with and taking our teams, we have run surveillance and tracked all the way back and even have snuck in to Catholic churches to see if we can find these Black Rooms, to see if we can find a beeline, and we have found again and again and again victims of satanic ritual abuse, the splitting of personality with subpersonalities, have been in and through rituals in numerous Catholic buildings. That's true of other church buildings too, by the way, but primarily there. Why? Because it all needs to be done. Listen, in the 70s, maybe a very few of these cult models began to show up in psychiatric units and at counselors and so forth because they knew something was wrong with them. Somehow they were breaking down and getting away. And then in the 80s, thousands and thousands. And then by the time the 90s and the end of the 90s came, by 94, Holly Hector from Centennial Hospital in Denver estimated in the literature that she put out as a hypnotherapist, which she quit being one, in the ritualistic abuse ward in the psychiatric center there, 2.5 million diagnosed cases back in 94. I think by now it's gone over 5 million. And of course, in that whole, you know, there's also a deception there. So when you look over that page of information, you're going to see how you can go over, books like like Bluebird, again, and Secret Weapons, and Journey into Madness, the CIA Doctors, and so forth. You're going to find a lot there concerning the individuals involved and the systems involved. But the bottom line is an elite brotherhood. And we as believers should be praying, and when revival comes, and when God is doing great things, there's an exposure of some of these folks. And we see this with the John Knox when he came against the Wicked Queen of Scotland. And we know that in the ruling government of France and others, where really the Black Mass was came out of European Satanism, out of France. I've got one of 500 hand-typed copies of the Black Mass that comes from France, the actual Black Mass that was given to me by a law enforcement agent. So when you think in terms of this Brotherhood of Darkness or this elite brotherhood, think in terms of political, economic, military, powerful. Think in terms of the Bohemian Grove. Take a look at it. Look at the ritual and realize that behind all of it is a constant spiritual rituals being poured out on them. You better believe that they're doing rituals over the White House, rituals in the Pentagon, rituals hidden, everywhere hidden, to continue to seek to influence and initiate and draw. You've got to understand, and I've got to understand more than ever in our lives, it's not just Satan flying around doing things. He's operating through the groups, the elites, and there's Father Shefton in a book in the 90s. He estimated 100,000 covens in the United States, and they're all doing rituals, and there's ritual dates, and so there's thousands of satanic or Illuminati prayer meetings. They're doing Their prayer meeting is a ritual release of demonic presence and power, targeting political, economic, military, and the powerful in the area of media and so forth like that. Now, I've already touched on the fact of going to the book of Timothy in the Bible. And as Christians, what do we do? Now, I mention on this page, point E, the design of deception. It's to pull the wool over the eyes, as I mentioned in Acts chapter 5. That was the whole agenda, to pull the wool over the eyes of the church, to test the durability and see what can happen. Well, it's also about guiding the activities and shaping and doing what it can to bring about the ultimate satanic plan. That's what's happening at the Bohemian Grove. That's what's happening on Malta. That's what's happening in churches where multiples have gotten in and have become friends with pastors and became the janitors and got the keys, and you know they're going to plot to do a satanic ritual in there. I mean, one of the ones we dealt with here in the Greater Akron area, they literally got caught by law enforcement. And we went after them prior to this, and we were praying concerning them to be exposed. This is the same one that showed up in my offices at another side of the town when I was a pastor of a larger church. And she had those satanic black power rings, and she had tattooed on her left wrist, War on the Saints, in her allegiance to the Antichrist. And she was there to take down that pastor and take down his wife. I had her book of shadows and read her agenda and the rituals they were doing. And they were sending Bibles that were urinated on and blood rituals were being done. And there was a group behind attacking that local church. And that pastor did fall. But she did get caught. And I'm telling you, all across America, and we've been to numerous churches invited, and we've dealt with the fact of occult-level spiritual warfare and the infiltration of the Christian church. More than what we see in the early church, because the days are desperate for them. The days are they're at their height. Even among upper-level, light-level Satanists, there's the belief that their age is about here, Rage Satanus, the day of the Black Awakening, or their rise to power is here. When I talk to cult models that are still in, and they're like halfway out, and some of the personnel, they're all telling me that the test things that are going on, and how they know it's in the air, and they're watching also, and they're waiting, some of them nervously. Even some of those who are halfway through healing, they're fearing that they still might have triggers that would invoke some sleeping assassin in them. Well, we've got to surrender that to the Lord and see His miracle work in their lives. The design of deception is to pull the wool over the eyes. It's to lead the whole world astray. But primarily, it's to target political, economic, military, and the powerful, those in powerful places. And what I want to say in contrast to that is what God says to the church, this indestructible body of Christ. Jesus said He's the head of the church. It's very very important that we be faithful brothers and sisters, that we understand the design of the church, the mission of the church, the structure of the church, the spiritual nature of its governance and its leadership, and of God's realm of authority in the structure. It's very important that we understand that. But when you go back to the book of Timothy, and you read in 1 Timothy chapter 2, the Spirit of God has laid out to the church. We've already been through this. I won't go through it very long here right now. I'm just saying this. As a Christian, God says, I urge then, first of all, look at the priority. Look at the passion and the priority of 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. I urge then, first of all, that requests and prayers and intercession, so forth, listen, be made for everyone, verse 2, for kings and all those in authority. For kings and all those that are in authority. We're supposed to be targeting politicians and the political and the government, those in the economic world of finance, those in the world of military and law enforcement, and those who are in the media and so forth. The body of Christ, now think about it, if you went to church last Sunday, did they have massive prayers for these leaders? No. The body of Christ needs to repent of its spectatorship, seeker-oriented, weak, anemic, Laodicean-type church settings. And we need to engage the millions of believers across the United States into massive prayer in obedience to this scripture right here, in obedience to the Holy Spirit. If we obey the Holy Spirit, we're going to feel His power move in and on us and through us as we target government officials, target politicians, as we target economic leaders and military leaders and military bases and military soldiers and military scientists and military lab workers and so on and so on and so on, and media moguls and communication, all those in the communication field, including people like Bill Gates. Christians are supposed to pray for them. What are we praying? For God's blessing and ultimately the greatest blessing of all, salvation. Look at the context of this chapter in 1 Timothy chapter 2. This kind of praying, it says this about this kind of praying. Dedicated praying for these people in power is this. This is good and pleases God. It pleases God our Savior, who wills all men to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. Look at the context of this. And we're seeing the demonization, the satanization of politics, of economics, of the military, the occult military complex, and of the media moguls. We're seeing the demonization and use of that, and that's who the Brotherhood of Darkness targets. That's who the Brotherhood of Darkness, that's who they are. They're coming from those realms. And we need to pray not only for the leaders and so forth, for their salvation, for God's protection, for God's hand to be on them, for revival to break out in military camps and military schools and military colleges and the Pentagon and so on. If you're a military person, lead the way in prayer. If you're a politician, lead the way in real God-oriented biblical prayer. This prayer with the Holy Spirit, passion and priority, urgency and first. And I can't say it enough. I can't say it enough right here. And in that, not only letting the church be a vessel of grace, but it's also a vessel of warfare. The body of Christ was birthed as a vessel of the grace of God and a vessel of the authority and spiritual warfare. And the gates of hell will not be able to destroy it, stop it, never has for 2,000 years. And when you're obedient to Jesus Christ, the kingdom of God will manifest through your life, and you will do great things. Pray about the Brotherhood of Darkness. Pray about individuals in the high levels, in the next tier down, maybe even in the area where you live and you think somebody's involved. Pray for their salvation. Pray against demonic stuff. Pray for God to reveal things and be a part of the great mission that God has given to the body of Christ as a vehicle of grace and mercy and salvation, offering salvation in Christ to the world, but also of spiritual warfare, praying against and asking God to crush Satan under our feet and asking God. Look again at 1 John chapter 3, verse 8. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy Satan's work. Are you unleashing spiritual warfare prayers against where you know Satan is operating in the elite? Let the Lord speak to you. God bless you. This is Russ, ShadowTheDarkness.net, from the internet course, The Black Awakening.